You've got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative, and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Welcome back to New Every Day. Thanks so much for tuning in. We've been following the book of Jonah.
Yes, we have.
This is our last week. We're in chapter 4. It's only 4 chapters long. A wee little book in the Old Testament of the Bible.
Yes.
And we've had some really great discussions so far. Thank you so much for those of you who have been following us on Facebook. And thank you also for those who are tuning in through our website, neweveryday.tv. We might as well just say thank you right now to Category 5 TV for hosting this show, to Robbie Ferguson, our director and producer, to Eco Alkalines, the batteries that power our audiovisual equipment, and to our new partner. I'll let you talk about them, Jen.
Yeah, to the Family Christian Store, Family Christian Stores, which is an online bookstore, music store for all things Christian. So we encourage you to... There is an area on our website that you can click on partners and you can check them out there. What they are is an organization that has, or a business that sends all of its proceeds to help ministries helping widows and orphans.
Yeah.
So we encourage you to check them out. We want to also say thank you to the Stitcher app for adding us to them so that you can listen to us wherever you're at. So if you don't have time to sit in front of your computer, well then get it on your phone and go
take
for
us
a
to
walk.
Go.
New every day to go, please. So we encourage you to share us too. When you like us on Facebook and we put up the new post, please hit share and share it to your timeline so other people can hear about us. I know some people sometimes struggle with how do I tell my friends what I believe? And I find that Facebook... can be a wonderful place that you can just share little parts of your faith. And maybe you're struggling with, well, how do I tell my friend about this? Feel free to share our show online. And maybe one of your friends will click on it and have a listen. And that will open some doors for you. Because I find sometimes people struggle. How do I start talking?
Yeah.
So feel free to use us that way. And... today's show, we're going to look specifically at the last chapter of Jonah.
Yes.
And we've titled it, How Jonah Missed the Boat. And so we're going to jump right in, reading from the New Century Version.
So if I can just recap.
Yeah.
So the last chapter, Jonah preached the message to the Ninevites.
Yes.
That, hey, in 40 days, the city's going to be destroyed if you don't repent. They repented. It was amazing. God did not destroy the city. Yay. And so now, chapter 4.
Chapter 4. And as we read this, I want you to ask the question, how am I like Jonah? So that's the question. I'm going to read the passage. And as we go through it, maybe even have your Bible out, or maybe have a notepad. I want you to just to say, how am I like Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
So as we read the different things, asking the question, how am I like Jonah? So let's do it.
Okay.
But this made Jonah very unhappy, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "When I was still in my own country, this is what I said would happen, and that is why I quickly ran away from Tarshish. I knew that you are a God who is kind and shows mercy. You don't become angry quickly, and you have great love. I knew you would choose not to cause harm. So now I ask you, Lord, please kill me. It is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Do you think it is right for you to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down east of the city. There he made a shelter for himself and sat in the shade, waiting to see what would happen to the city. The Lord made a plant grow quickly up over Jonah, which gave him shade and helped him to be more comfortable. Jonah was very pleased to have the plant. But the next day, when the sun rose, God sent a worm to attack the plant so that it died. As the sun rose higher in the sky, God sent a very hot east wind to blow. And then the sun became so hot on Jonah's head that he became very weak and wished he were dead. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you think it is right for you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah answered, "It is right for me to be angry. I'm so angry I could die." And then the Lord said, "You are so concerned for that plant, even though you did nothing to make it grow. It appeared one day, and the next day it died. Then shouldn't I show concern for the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who do not know right from wrong, and many animals too?" So the question is, how are you like Jonah?
God had just shown incredible mercy to these people. And mercy to Jonah in that he didn't die when he was thrown into the sea. And yet he was still so angry, went outside the city, crossed his arms, plopped down to watch the show. Because he was hoping that they would burn up. Even though he was like, "Okay, did my job, preached the word, now let's go." Yeah. And yet he says, "But I know that you are full of mercy and compassion." So he knows this side of God. Yeah. And yet the bitterness and anger towards these people because of their violence was still so pervasive in his mind and in his heart that he couldn't let it go.
Well, I don't think he could get his mind around the fact that God could forgive them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, do you not know how violent they are to us? Do you not know? Like, he is angry at God because God is willing to forgive. And so the problem isn't God. The problem is Jonah.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's why we are so, we want to hold back our forgiveness.
Mm.
Well, if I forgive that person, is God going to make it right? Or is he just going to let them off the hook? Because that's really what forgiveness is. It's taking them from our hook and putting them on God's hook. It's saying, I release this person to you. I will not hold it against them.
Yeah.
And I'm releasing them to God.
Yeah.
And so when we forgive, we're actually trusting that the Lord is going to bring his justice into the situation, because we can't do it right. We want to think we can do it right, mm-hmm. but we can't do it right. And mm-hmm. so here we are. Forgiveness is, I choose as an act of my will to forgive. Let's look at Jonah, to forgive the Ninevites for what they've done to my nation, and I choose to put them onto God's hook.
Mm.
God, you deal with them. And so what I think Jonah is saying is, I knew you were going to do that. That's why I chose not to forgive them.
Because someone's got to be angry at them.
Because somebody's got to be angry.
Like, he needs to fill in the justice side.
Yes. And so often, we want to take things into our own hands. We want to make it right. We want to push that kid down who just pushed, you know, whoever. Now, there's nothing wrong with standing in the gap, to saying, "Hey, no." But when we seek out with a heart of vengeance, that's something totally different.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with standing up and saying to a kid who's being a bully, "Hey, like, don't
that's
do that."
Wrong.
However words, that's wrong. It's something totally different to pick up a rock and throw it back.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
And that's what vengeance does. And so Jonah is seeking vengeance.
Mm.
But God is seeking mercy. And that is so important to know, that when we come to God, God isn't seeking to smite you.
Mm-hmm.
He is seeking to receive you.
And I think that's what baffles me about the life of Christ, the juxtaposition between justice and mercy.
Mm.
That God, in his justice, being a righteous judge, we had sinned against him, the penalty needed to be paid for. So the judgment needed to be paid for sin.
Yeah.
But in his mercy, he came down and became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And it's that juxtaposition of justice and mercy that I think it's hard to understand, because we don't see a good representation of that on earth. You know, we look at governments, we see them trying to enact justice, and yet we see these corrupt police officers, we see these corrupt people who are supposed to enforce justice, and they are the ones, in fact, engaging in the criminal activity. And it's just mind-blowing. I mean, I can kind of see where Jonah's coming from and being so angry. A number of weeks ago, the Canadian government engaged in this Truth and Reconciliation committee and wanted to reconcile with the Aboriginal people, the Native American people of Canada, who they were just so wronged when the residential schools were established through the Catholic Church and supported by the Canadian government, where the Canadian government and the Catholic Church took Aboriginal children away from their parents and raised the kids in these schools in terrible, deplorable conditions, in that they were abused emotionally, sexually, physically. It was awful. It's a real black spot in Canadian history. Mm-hmm. And so since then, and it hasn't been even that long since the last one closed, just a few decades, they're trying to reconcile with these people. And it's the right thing to do. But I know people are having trouble with it, because it's like, well, if you say sorry and we say that's okay, does it forget that it happened?
No.
Does it just wash it away? And it doesn't, because it happened.
Yeah.
The hurt was there. And so maybe Jonah's experiencing that. No, the hurt is there. I see the violence of these people. I just can't get over it. So what do you do with that?
Oh, boy.
What do you do with that? This is a big scar.
Because he's doing what he thinks he needs to do.
Mm.
He goes out. He's like, okay, burn them up.
Right.
Even though they had repented. Okay, now do what you're supposed to do. And I think so often, because we get hurt, we get offended so deeply, and we don't trust God. I think that's one of the biggest things, is that we don't trust God to deal with it the way it needs to be done.
Right.
Because we're seeing through hurt glasses, right?
Yeah.
We're so hurt that we want them to hurt just as much as we were hurt in whatever way. And I think one of the key things that we have to do when we feel the bitterness or the anger or the hurt, because there's nothing wrong with being angry. That means something happened.
Hmm.
It's what you do in the anger, right?
In your anger, do not sin.
That's what Ephesians says. In your anger, do not sin.
Yeah.
And so here we are. What do you do when this kind of is there? And I honestly believe that you have to go to God. You have to cry out to God. You have to be like blunt, honest. God, this sucks. These people did this to me. I am angry. But this is where it changes. I need you to do a work in my heart.
Yeah. To be able to forgive.
Yes. Work in my heart.
Yeah.
Because I can't see it. The hurt is so deep. I can't see it.
Mm.
And God comes. And I think that's part of the problem, is that we don't ask God to change our own heart towards the person. You can even say, God, I hate that person. And God, in his wonderful, gentle, merciful kindness, comes to us. And he says, okay.
And even the situation where you think, I cannot think differently about this person.
Yeah.
I cannot. It was the father who abused me, and I just cannot get over that.
Yes.
God does a miracle. And, you know, I've talked to so many people now, and even in my own life, how God has changed perspective.
Yes.
He's changed your heart.
Yes.
You know, my mom would always say, when you harbor unforgiveness, it's like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yes.
It eats you up inside.
Yeah.
And a couple things happened here when Jonah decided not to witness and celebrate the mercy of God for these people. It rendered him inert for further service.
It did.
Because he sat down with his arms crossed and the sun started scorching him. And then he couldn't experience joy through thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it robbed him emotionally. So, and he wanted to die.
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to serve. He wasn't able to celebrate the goodness of God. He couldn't be thankful. And he was emotionally destitute.
Yeah.
So, and that came from unforgiveness.
The picture that's coming to my mind right now is this happens in church all the time.
Hmm.
We get offended in church. We get hurt in church. somebody does something to us, that person repents, God forgives them, God restores them, there's blessing, their ministry starts to, all of a sudden they're on stage telling people about the wonderful work that God's done in their heart, and you're sitting there like this.
Arms crossed.
Arms crossed.
Snip, snip.
Yes. Like you can't enjoy the celebration because you're so ticked off.
Yeah.
How dare God forgive that person? Mm-hmm. Do you not know what they did to me? And yet there they are. God has forgiven them. The church has accepted them. They're being released in ministry. Wonderful things are happening. And yet you have closed yourself off to them and allowed a root of bitterness to grow in your heart.
Right.
And God says, like, are you so concerned for that plant, even though you did nothing to make it happen? It appeared one day and the next it died. Then shouldn't I show concern for the great city of Nineveh? It's like God saying, should I not show concern for that person I made?
Yeah.
First or Second Peter, and Robbie will do his thing. It says, God is patient because he wants everyone to come to know him. Everyone.
Right.
And so who are we when we get hurt or offended to say, but not that person. Not that person. And certainly not that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's why God is like, I think he's trying to get Jonah to be merciful too. Like to say, you know, you're all about this plant that was here and gone and you did nothing for it and yet you're upset.
But you don't even think about the 120,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, looking at that situation, it's amazing to see how God cared for the great city of Nineveh because there was 120,000 people and he knew that they would turn to him. And yet he cares for the one, for Jonah.
Yes,
actually. And he has not forgotten him.
No. He is still... I feel I can almost see Jonah sitting there and God kind of sidling up to him and sitting down beside him and saying, buddy. And Jonah's like...
moving away.
Moving away, and God's moving closer, and Jonah's moving away, and God's moving closer. And Jonah is basically saying, I have every right. Right? He's claiming his rights, that he has every right to be upset.
Yeah.
And God is like, I think that breaks God's heart when we choose to hang on to unforgiveness towards people because it spurns his grace and his mercy and forgiveness.
Right. Right.
And so when we choose not to forgive, then that's like saying, God, I don't care that you've forgiven me. I'm not going to forgive that person. Mm. Doesn't matter. And I'm like, that puts us in a very, very, very bad spot.
Well, Jesus told the parable about the wicked servant who he was going to be punished because he had all of these outstanding debts. And he went to his master and said, there's no way I can pay this debt. Will you forgive me? And he forgave him his debt and said he owed nothing. But then he left the king's chamber, the king's court, and went, and someone who owed him money came, and he was angry at that person, said, no, you're going to pay me every penny, and I'm going to put you in prison, and your wives and your kids are going to go to prison too, and you're going to be slaves until you can pay every penny back. And someone heard of it and told the master who had just forgiven this servant, and the master pulled him in and said, what are you doing? I just forgave you this huge debt. I could have taken your house. I could have taken your family. And yet you don't extend the same forgiveness to this person who wronged you. And you know, it's easy for me to share that, but God, please give me the strength to forgive people when things come up in my life. I don't want to say that easily because I know people are going through hard things.
Yes.
I know you're going through hard things. Even as you're watching this, you're thinking about someone who has hurt you and you haven't forgiven them. And maybe you want to stay in that bitter place. But there is freedom in Christ, and I have experienced it, and I know it's true.
Yeah. Forgiveness is not easy, but it is a command. And so I am constantly reminded that whenever God commands us to do something, he walks with us through it.
Yeah.
So when he says forgive, that means that we are to forgive. It doesn't say, well, when it's easy, or when it's convenient. It says forgive.
Yeah.
70 times 7, no matter how many times that person comes to you, forgive them. And there will be times when people don't come to you, and you still have to forgive them. And in order that you are set free from that person, just releasing it to God. Say, God, I choose as an act of my will to forgive this person.
Even if they're not right in front of you.
Even if they're not right in
front of you. Or they haven't said, Jen, I know I've hurt you.
Yeah. I see it. And maybe you don't want to call it forgiveness. Maybe you want to call it releasing to God.
So, okay. Like, if I have a family member who has actually passed away, but I know that they've hurt me in the past, do I still need to forgive that person?
I would say yes. Whether you want to say forgive or release, because some people are all up in arms about, well, is that really forgiveness if they don't come to you? Something needs to be done to actually cut the debt, right? It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those, as we forgive our debtors,
yeah.
Right? So whether you want to say, forgive us our sins as we sin against others, or whether forgive us as we forgive those who, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever version you want to read, there is a debt, there is a trespass, somebody has crossed the line. So how do you actually get them back to where they're supposed to be? And I think the key is to release them.
And forgive
them. And to forgive them. I choose as an act of my will to release this person, to forgive them, to not hold it against them. And give them to God.
And leave room for him to do what he's going to do.
And leave room for him to do. And it is not easy. Sometimes it's easier than others. And sometimes when it has been perpetual abuse, and from the closest people, that can be the, I don't have a concept of what that's like, but I know, I can only imagine that it is desperately hard. And I think that's where I would encourage you to invite God in, to say, God, I cannot forgive them on my own, but you command me to. And you said that I can do all things through you because you give me strength. And so we encourage you today to call on the name of the Lord and say, God, I have to forgive this person. You might not even want to. I don't want to forgive this person. I have to forgive this person.
Right.
Help me. Help me to forgive this person. And you might find yourself forgiving them again and again and again. And you might think, well, didn't I forgive them? And I often think that forgiveness is a continual thing. I have forgiven. I am forgiving. And I will continue to forgive. Because maybe it's a new idea that's come up about that relationship. God, I choose to forgive them when they did this to me. This is how it made me feel. And I choose to release that to you. Would you come and heal the sore spot in my heart? And I'm always amazed at how God comes. Because when you walk in obedience, there is always blessing. There's always blessing. It says it very clear, like, I lay before you curses and blessings. That's what he says in the Torah. And so when we choose to walk in obedience, there will always be a blessing. When you choose to forgive that person, God will meet you in some amazing, miraculous way. He will set you free in ways that you can't even begin to imagine because you're on this side of the blessing. So we're encouraging you today. Jonah chose to hold on to the bitterness. God chose to extend mercy, even to Jonah again. So wherever you're at, we encourage you to surrender yourself to the Lord.
Yeah.
Ask him, what is it that you're touching in my heart? Who do I need to forgive? Where am I holding bitterness against someone? And ask him to help you to forgive, help you extend the mercy, to see how he wants you to see.
And Micah, it says, what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly? And I think in that, acting justly is like, okay, you can be upset that sin is there, that people are hurt and that you've been hurt. But to love mercy is celebrate the mercy of God that you've received in your own life and be able to extend it to other people. And walking humbly, I think, is saying, I can't do it on my own. I need God to do it.
Yeah.
Can you pray for us, Jen?
Lord, we cannot do this on our own. We need you. We need you, we need you, we need you, we need you, we need you. We thank you that you are our God, that when we call in the name of the Lord, we will be saved. And when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And when we seek you with all of our hearts, you will be found by us. And so, Father, we pray that for our watchers today, those who are viewing the show. Would you draw near to them? Would you speak your words of truth and love and kindness into their hearts, into their innermost being? Would you help them to release to you the people they need to release? Maybe they even need to release themselves, Lord. There is nothing that separates us from you. You desire to be close to us. Help us to reach out. Help us to receive your grace and mercy so that we can in turn extend that to others. Watch over our viewers and keep them safe. Bless them. We pray this in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in again, and we sure hope that you will tune in again next week to New Every Day. Please check us out on Facebook, and we hope that you have a great week.
Yes, have a great week. Trust me.
Thank you.